You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, that was a lot of fun having Justin Schmidt from the Schmidt Freeman Insurance Company here in Oshkosh and Amro in the house. Now we've got Jeff Erkay, Pickle and Bags, which is a great thriving place right here in Oshkosh. Jeff, how you doing, buddy? It's good to see you again. It's been a while.
I'm doing good. Good morning, guys.
I think last time we were here was about 14 below and windy.
It was different.
This is nice. Tell me a little bit about your place. How's it going?
Going good. Winter was busy, yeah. Obviously. Not many things to do around here when it's 10 degrees below.
Yeah.
It was great. A lot of people coming in, just pickup games. We had some tournaments. We had some bands. Lots of events where people would rent it out, whether it was a birthday party or a retirement party. Even had a wedding. It was great. Yeah.
They rented out. So they own the courts that day or that time?
The whole facility.
Really? I would think that'd be like a great bachelor or bachelorette party.
Oh, yeah, we've had those too.
I'll bet. Yep. And tell everybody the facility itself, though, first.
Yeah,
What's all in? It's just not pickleball courts.
Nope. We're a venue. So we have four pickleball courts, but those four pickleball courts, we can clear off, one of them, two of them, three of them, all of them, whatever.
Just take the nets down, right?
Yeah, and just have a wide open place. And we'll put up some bags from time to time, cornhole. And, when people are renting, sometimes they'll want one court with five rows of cornhole on it and then three pickleball courts. And then we have a lounge. It's a large room. We call it a VIP room where that's a place where, when people are renting it out, they'll have food catered into it or whatever. And then we have the whole bar area.
That's awesome. Pickleball is not a young person's sport. You could 50-year-old birthday parties would be great for that because they play.
Oh yeah, everybody plays.
Plays. Yeah, yeah. You were saying that last time.
And oh yeah.
With it, league? Do you have leagues, tournaments? Are they do they go on throughout the summer or do they kind of take a break?
Oh no, we have leagues year round.
It is year round.
The leagues are definitely busier in the winter. For obvious reasons, like we were talking before, you get about three good months in Wisconsin. So people like to be outside.
Get outside,
But, we still have leagues, evening leagues. So, we're still filling them up and still having a great time. Not as many leagues.
Okay. Do you offer lessons for people like John?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because he wouldn't need any.
Yeah, we have lots of lessons going on. I'm one of the instructors. A buddy of mine, his name is Zach Gonnering. He's actually a professional pickleball player. He gives some lessons. We're staying busy.
Wow, when you said that, you don't throw out that term loosely, professional.
I didn't know there
were... in the span of what, 5 years at the most, probably. It went from, hey, this seems like kind of a cool thing for older people to do, to professional, extremely competitive leagues with a lot of money involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's popping.
Whew.
And it's only continuing to grow. Watching professional pickleball players play, on TV.
I watched them on ESPN the other night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've been watching them for about 5 years now since I started, right around COVID.
Right. Thank you.
And it was a different game.
Yeah.
It's
kind of patty cake back then. Now it's true.
It's speeding up. There's still a slow part of the game, but with so many more people playing the sport, things change a little bit. And like I said last time I was on here, you're seeing people play from, 10 years old all the way, into 70s, 80s. And, the way the game is played, depending on, those ages, does change a little bit. But they're all having fun.
Yeah. 70s, right. 80s, that's right up your alley, guys. I mean,
don't point John's, at John. John's closer than I am. It's closer than I am.
If I make 80,
yeah,
we'll have
a party.
That'll be the biggest surprise in the world. That'll be the biggest upset of all time.
We'll have it at P&B's for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me talk a little bit more about this whole thing. How did it evolve to become? I would think it's because anybody can kind of do it. And for the real good pickleball players, I'm sure they get a little offended by that. But the rudimentary fundamentals of it, anyone at any athletic level can do.
Yeah, that's what's great about it, is because it has so many different levels.
Right.
All right. Even when you go to these big tournaments, they have different levels for skill, different levels for age. So there's a place for everybody to fit in and to play against people similar to them, which keeps it fun.
Right.
You know, if you go and you play against somebody that's just way worse than you, that's not going to be as much fun. If you play against somebody that's way better than you, that's not going to be as much fun. But the thing with pickleball, especially now that there's so many people playing, you can always find a competitive game.
Right. I mean, that's the cool part.
Absolutely.
So your company, though, is Pickle and Bags. Talk about the bags a little bit more. Is that people tournaments? Are people really into that?
From time to time, we'll have tournaments. Basically, what's happened with that is we've rented out the facility to some groups of guys that throw bag tournaments. So we don't have we're really not running those. We're just letting them use the facility. It all started, I had a buddy who was very active in having weekly tournaments. His organization would come in and then run those weekly tournaments. As it turned out, my buddy ended up moving to Washington. So some of the guys kind of picked up where okay. he left off. And the bags definitely haven't been as busy as the pickleball.
But if there's not pickleball around, the bags are the thing. You know what I mean? Like, I just went to a party in Door County and it was all
every yeah, graduation popular. Party you'll go to in the state of Wisconsin.
Talking about.
We'll have that.
It's very popular also. I mean, you see that on ESPN too.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, that was on the other night.
Yeah.
The elevation those guys get and dropping it down is incredible. And some of the best players are like 15 years old in the really? Country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Todd. You know what you need? You know what I think is going to be the next That's one, though? Cool. And I think I'm going to start bringing it back as okay. be just part of bocce ball. Do you ever play bocce ball?
That's a great idea.
Yes, right?
There you I love go. That.
Oh, my God. That's all we play at my Uncle Nacho's camp all the time was bocce ball.
Yeah.
And really competitive.
Pickle bags and bocce. I mean,
there you go.
Pickle bags and bocce.
Absolutely.
Now, we'll just add it. He'll be your bocce manager.
Like yes.
Okay. Yep. We'll have to bring in some grass and some hills. And
I know.
Stuff.
Even my brother, when we have our big, he does his, every year has this big party. It's a bocce ball tournament up in the UP.
I used to play with some buddies with that. In college, we'd play a buck a ball.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's really competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever play bocce ball, Jim?
I don't think so. Is that croquet?
No, you throw it. It's a bunch of balls, different size balls.
No.
Oh. And you got the one ball you got to get closest to. You throw that one out. And no.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's fun.
It's almost like a shuffle ball with balls.
Is it croquet?
It's not croquet. Do you have my wicket?
The reason I asked croquet because he said it was grass.
Donna, that is not my special wicket.
The only reason I asked because he said there's hills and grass, and that's croquet.
Okay.
Well, you can play it on any kind of lay of the land. And it's
bocce ball?
But it's more fun if it's a little bit uneven.
Exactly. Because you got to play. You know, how the ball's
going. Play the roll, play the hill, so just, play the whole thing.
You, Mr. Athlete, and owning all these sports, what do you think of croquet?
We're almost 2 years into the show, the first time I've ever heard. So, what do you think of croquet?
I just want to know.
I don't know if I've ever played it.
That hurts. All right. Okay. Well, all right.
How about polo?
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. All right. I want to know, texters, who plays croquet, and what's the last time you played croquet? How do they text us, Todd? I want to read this one.
You'll be surprised.
We'll be surprised, you bet.
Download the Civic Media app, choose WISS or WGBW, and just text in right now, croquet, yes or no.
Yeah. Or no.
I think that's a fun game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, by the way, I got to throw this out there. Texan came in. The Freedom Free Fall. We're talking about the Veterans Free Fall.
Yep.
In Amarillo. But this weekend, it's in Pulaski. Vinny just texted.
That's right.
So thank you for that. It's in Pulaski this weekend. The Freedom Free Fall, which is a great thing. to help bring awareness to veteran suicide.
There's a lot behind that. Yeah, that's a great organization.
Absolutely.
Hey, so what are your plans? I mean, how long have you been at this? 3 years?
No, it'll be 2 years in November.
Okay.
So
and it's going well. You're making money. People are you going to expand? You're going to go to Green Bay? Have you thought about that?
I get asked that a lot.
I bet you do.
But, you know, since we've opened up, there's actually been other spots that have opened up through the valley here. I mean, you got a place in up in Appleton. There's a place up in Green Bay, the Pickler. And I've heard about some of those coming to also Appleton. The Pickler's very popular across the country. So you're seeing more and more pop up, which, I mean, part of the reason I did it here was because there was really nowhere besides like a Y setting, you know? So the idea of expanding into a spot that already has places, you know, it's hard enough doing it when nobody else is doing it, let alone.
Hey, give a little bit about your background though, as far as Jeff, when you decided to make this leap. I mean, you've always been into sports and physical fitness. I mean, your personal accolades, All-American and track and football and all these kind of things. And how did you take that athlete and turn it into this?
Well, I'm an idiot. And I thought, oh, let's do another business. Now, I've ran a small business for 15 years now, Jet Fitness, here in town. And really enjoyed playing pickleball. Like we talked about last time, where I started during COVID, it just gave you something to kind of look forward to every day. So it was good for physical health, but also mental health. And I was like, you know what? More people need this to look forward to, something that's actually healthy, that's addicting. There's not too many of those.
And think about the other part. So it's not like golf where you have to take 127 lessons and pay $100 every time you go out. It's not like tennis, which can be really, you got the whole big court and you got the whatever. You know what I mean? It's a type of thing where it's really user friendly.
Very, very. And that's another reason why it's so popular, you know? So with all that being said, I was like, you know, the demand is growing so much and the supply just isn't here. Especially like really high level courts that are just super nice and nice nets and all that, you know? And so I looked for about a year, just because you want to find a nice spot to, you know, make sure it's fun to be at. It's a good atmosphere, those type of things. So once I found it, it was, you know, then it was just a matter of construction and getting it how it needed to be, putting in a bar, you know, just for the, you know, bonus afterwards.
And it gives you more opportunities to rent it out for other things, though, too.
Right, exactly.
I think that's a great idea.
And it's a very social sport. Right. So people get done playing pickleball and they don't just go home. They sit around and they shoot the breeze. And, you know, it's a very, very social sport. And another reason why it's so popular, you know.
That's a revenue stream too. I mean, you want to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you gotta have absolutely.
That. So that I just, when you talk about the competition, that there's a lot more. That says you want that because it raises more awareness.
Absolutely.
You know, and that you got one guy there. It's like, well, they don't know what it is.
So the more people involved, the better.
Oh man!
And tell everybody where you are and what you do, my man.
2211 Oregon Street, Unit Z, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Pickle and Bags. Come on down, have some fun.
Graduation parties, bachelorette parties, the whole thing.
50-year-old birthday parties.
That's very, very nice venue for multiple
Mino's
things.
80-year-old birthday party.
And we can get Justin Schmick there as the adult dancer, right?
Oh, there you go.
That's right. He said he does insurance.
Bring your life insurance.
It's always great having you on. Thanks for being here, man. We love coming down.
Thank you, fellas.
Can't
I appreciate it.
Can't wait to see your place.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, we'll be there.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Back after this. Main Street, Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all the same street. A typical city
involved in a typical daydream. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Cushy, Houston, too close to New Orleans, New York, got the ways and means, and just just won't let you be.
Modern the Mayor coming your way from the beautiful offices in downtown Oshkosh at WISS. It is Trucker Thursday. Special thanks to Jeff Erke, Pickle and Bags. We're going to be stopping over at his place, 2211 Oregon Street in Oshkosh. Special thanks to Justin Schmick, Schmick Freeman Insurance, Kate Stell and Bill Wyman, Oshkosh Area Community Foundation, Mike Dempsey, Waterfest in Oshkosh, and we've got some more great guests coming up. But also, I want to say that our poll, croquet, yes or no? Mm-hmm. We've got no, 85%. We've got yes, 10%. And we've got big fat no, 5%. So we got for croquet so far.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't either. Shh.
No, I'll tell you why, John. Did you, as a kid, you played croquet, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
They got the yard.
You played croquet as a kid?
We had a set.
Okay.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because you had a yard.
Yeah, big yard.
You had a family.
Had a family.
And everybody played.
Yeah, we did.
Not that hard. You talk about pickleball being pretty easy.
Actually, croquet's, I will say this.
Super easy.
There's collectors, old, really old croquet sets are like a collector's item.
Yeah.
Because they're really old with the old wooden balls and stuff.
I remember seeing a set around. I don't know if it was my grandparents who had it or my parents, but we never played that. We played, you know, we're from a time as kids when we played lawn jarts
and
lost eyeballs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Lawn, that was right in my era in the 70s.
That was
big.
That's amazing that got on the market.
I know, right?
You know, with little kids.
Oh, my God.
Parents out there smoking cigarettes and throwing lawn jarts.
Absolutely, the drink in their hand. And question.
You talk about those bags, the arch, what they put on those lawn. They come down.
And they impale your head.
Right.
Right in your skull.
They could.
They did. I mean, it's true.
Yeah. That's why they went off the market.
I know, right?
But I'm surprised they even got on.
Well, you know,
they were metal, too. It wasn't like plastic. Those things were heavy.
And they were weighted.
Yeah.
The other thing that were dangerous was the slip and slides.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Had one of those, too? Slides.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
I still have a scar on my knee from one.
Absolutely. Well, I've got that scar on my knee from the Lazy River at the Dells.
Oh, that's right.
You know, so when you were off, I don't know if it was yesterday, Jim, or last week, but we told the story of the Lazy River because we had somebody on that was a lifeguard.
Yeah, we did. We talked about that.
At like one of the Wisconsin Dells things.
Yeah. Right.
We told the story of you flipping over in the Lazy
and she's
River.
She's like, oh my God, I've seen, yep.
She's seen it before though, didn't she?
No, not that specifically.
And the blood, and just like, wow.
I got the scar. I can show you the scar. I could drop my pants and show you the scar.
Okay, pass. Pass. All right.
So I got a thing here from our girl, Sarah Jean. She said, my boss brought me a pasty treat from A Train in the UP and sent me a picture. And it's this little general store.
Wow.
And it's the greatest. When you walk in, it smells so delicious from these fresh baked pasties they have in there. It's unbelievable. And I tell people, there's a slice of the UP, that A Train area around Munising. It is the most beautiful place in the Midwest, without question. It's like a bigger Neshoto Beach.
Nice.
It'd be like 10 times the size of Neshoto Beach. And you can walk out into Lake Superior for like 100 feet. It's unbelievable how beautiful that area is up around A Train, Michigan. If anybody ever thinks about where can I go for a, you know, more than a weekend, like a 4-day vacation type of thing.
The name of the city is A Train?
A Train, A-U-T-R-A-I-N.
They're kind of like French. What's it called?
There's a lot of French names in Michigan.
French Canadians up there.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're all the
people. I thought it was all these Italians. Okay.
No, different parts of the UP are all, like anywhere near the water, it's a lot of Native American and French Canadian for all the fishing, commercial fishermen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Sault Ste. Marie, Escanaba, Launce, Barriga, Munising, those are all French Canadians. Yeah, so in the mining area, it's all Italians and Finns. In fact, there's a lot of towns up there, I bet are 90, at least used to be 90% Finnish. Because all the Finns used to come over, which was great.
Cool.
So, yep. Our special guest coming in? Yeah, we do. Right. We got a very special guest coming up in a couple of minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Talk a little bit about our veteran salute that we always have with one of our great sponsors.
Yep, brought to you by Olson Legal Group, LLC in Oshkosh and also in, help me out here. Where else are they? Berlin.
Right?
Berlin, yeah.
Absolutely.
And Nate Olson, of course, is the guy who helps us bring this out to you. And part of that is that text that we got earlier from Vinny. Free Fall is this weekend in Pulaski, too. So if that's something you have not experienced, you should go out and check
just
that out.
Just to watch.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you don't jump, it doesn't matter.
No, right,
to
exactly.
To watch that, and they do all tandem. And the one time, the very first year we had it, and it was in Pulaski, I believe, that year, had a guy that the last time he had jumped out of an airplane was on D-Day.
Wow.
D-Day. And he came back and he did it again. How cool is that? They had Korean War vets, a lot of Vietnam vets, a lot of Iraq, Afghanistan vets that take part in it. But it's all tandem. We had
really?
Andy Van
Vagel. That?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
It's so cool. It's great. It's a wonderful organization. Wow. And I've talked a little bit about how that all started with a young lady, a great friend of mine, where she took up skydiving and she used that to help guys with post and women with post-traumatic stress. So really, really cool thing. And if I didn't have an artificial hip and a back problem and stuff,
you'd be doing it yourself.
I'd be there. Absolutely.
So next week, I want to mention this. Terry and Mike are going to be joining us. Vinny's going to be in too to talk about the Veterans Fishing University that they also do. So that'll be your veteran spotlight or your veteran salute next week on Tuesday.
Great. Well, we've got a gentleman coming up here, Mike Robinson from Oshkosh, in just a few minutes. I'm halfway through his story for writing it for my book. And it's unbelievable. I mean, I've heard so many different experiences in wars from, you know, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, everywhere. But his story is one of the most unique I've ever experienced in my entire life telling these stories.
Wow.
And we got Mike coming on in just a minute. It's our veteran spotlight.
Yep.
Brought to you by Olson Legal Group, and we're going to give him a nice welcome.
And plug for Olson, you know, we're there. But what he does is everything. And he is a great lawyer in this community. So I nice guy too.
I want to give you a plug, Jim, because Michael from Simple Life Hospitality, croquet. Yes, I was in a croquet club in high school at UW Wisconsin.
Hey, Michael, you just lost some credibility.
Yeah,
Michael, we know Johnny Juice for you. Highest esteem until just now, Michael.
In the club.
Just now. We got to start a quick break. We'll be back with our veteran spotlight right after this.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Another Mayor coming your way from the WISS studios in downtown Oshkosh on Trucker Thursday. A little Johnny Cash taking us into one of our favorite segments, actually my favorite segment of the entire week, our veteran spotlight. Who's it brought to you by, Todd?
Olson Legal Group in Berlin and Oshkosh.
Just down the block from us in a beautiful location, a fire station built in like 1910. It's fantastic. A very good friend of mine right now, a Vietnam vet, Mike Robinson, joining us. And Mike, tell you what, I'm going to be talking with you again a little bit later for my book and your experiences in Vietnam. And when you walked in and I told the guys here, it's like, Mike, how in the world are you sitting here with us right now? Because knowing your story, it's almost a miracle that you're alive. And I don't throw that out there loosely. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I would definitely agree with that. As a matter of fact, you know, when the one grenade did pop on over and it was 3 feet away from me and I couldn't reach it and it didn't go off. But I did get hit on that operation, but not seriously. So, you know, you got to remember that the NVA, we were in a triple canopy jungle, and the NVA did completely surround us without us knowing it after the first initial ambush. So KC, Kevin Cahill, which is a super great Marine, Lieutenant Nelson was carrying him, and then he got hit for the third time, Lieutenant Nelson did. But KC, he did get killed, and he was our point man. Pretty much a miracle that anybody came out of that alive. And then, like, fast forward, if Delta Company wouldn't have got to us when we did, even 5 minutes later, Charlie Company and I wouldn't be here today.
I mean, you guys had already talked to yourselves. Let's save one bullet for ourselves, right?
Well, I don't think any one of the Marines would have killed themselves.
Well, one of the guys in the book that talked about that, he wasn't going to be taken
captured.
But
when you read the book...
But you guys were out of ammunition.
We were.
Let me back up. They were on a patrol. They had to get to a destination. They got heavy pressure from one of the higher-up officers who wasn't there to see what you guys were facing. The NVA had it planned incredibly well, had you on all sides. These guys were walking along. All of a sudden, the NVA's above them, dropping hand grenades right down on top of them. These guys could not even see them to fight back. battle went on and on. Basically, we're down to their last couple of rounds of ammunition, and to the point where they started singing the Marine hymn just for inspiration and started throwing rocks at the NVA, hoping the NVA thought they were grenades and would back off. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, and that was Lieutenant Jack Ruffer that started singing the Marine Corps hymn, and this is... We were getting our butts kicked, and you know, it was pretty amazing that all of a sudden that song at the time, the Marine Corps hymn, got louder and louder. And this is over the gunfire. This is over the grenades that are dropping on top of us. And we couldn't figure out how they were so accurate with the grenades. Well, what they did is they tied themselves to the trees, and the trees, you couldn't even see the sky. That's how the Triple Canopy Jungle was. It was. You just couldn't see the sky. So that's how they were so accurate with their grenades. And then, like I say, you know, when he was singing the Marine Corps hymn, it got louder and louder. Now, can you imagine what the NVA is thinking at this time? And because they're very well trained. So it was pretty much a miracle that... We even survived that, and then, like I say, after the initial ambush, we hit, sent out helicopters. We had helicopters come in, but we had to blow trees down. And then when the first one of the helicopters came in, there was this one tree in the way, and he took his tail, like, and it just a perfect hit, and he knocked the tree over.
Uh-huh. Otherwise, they couldn't have gotten out the wounded or bring in ammo, right?
Right, and they could not land because of the stumps.
Right.
And so then, just as the last helicopter was taken off, this was about dusk, that's when the second ambush, or the second time that they attacked us, happened, and the rest is history. The like I say, it was a pretty dramatic, you could, from the book, I imagine you can... It puts tears in your eyes, and
it gave me nightmares, Mike. I'm not even joking about it. I'm not trying to sound melodramatic.
I was
going to
ask you if you still have.
After you telling me that story, I had dreams that night.
Yeah, I bet you do. That's, go ahead, John. Just a couple of, how many people were there?
184 men was in Charlie Company. And okay. I think there was like 25 that came out.
Yeah.
All right. And Johnny talked about nightmares. And really, that's still haunting you a little bit?
All the time. Matter of fact, I go to two groups. I go one in Green Bay at the Vet Center, and one here in Oshkosh, and that's run by the Vet Center in Green Bay. So that's the only way. And then I went to Tomah because I didn't want to live anymore. We'll put it that way. I won't say.
Yeah,
so you know, whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't want to live anymore. And then finally, the Vet Center says, well, you're going to Tomah. So I went to Tomah for 10 weeks in 2014, and that basically saved my life.
You know, Mike, I had a friend that Marine, Vietnam, horrible situation.
Yeah.
He's a guy I want to put you in touch with, by the way. We're going to get together with this. But he went to Tomah for 6 months. He didn't say a word. He just sat and listened, and then he decided to open up. And that just shows how tough of a nut it is to crack for gentlemen like yourself.
It is. It takes... Not months, years. And you know, you never really get over it. So you're never going to quit having the dreams, and then you're never going to, I wouldn't say fighting the battle, but you have to deal with it. And that's what we do. So if in the middle of the night, if I have a really bad one where I feel rather uncomfortable, I'll call somebody from our group.
And, our support group.
Yes. Support group, you know, like
sure
from the groups that I go to, and boy, they listen. So you know,
Mike, I get another good friend who was up around the rock pile. You know where the rock?
We was at the rock pile.
Yeah,
we was also the rock pile. We also got into a battle there, and in Contien, we got in a battle where actually Contien, we was out outside the wire, and we were the difference between Contien and Quezon is that Contien, you got hit every day. But we were outside the wire, and the NVA had us pinned down, and we had to call in an air. I called in an airstrike on our own position.
Yeah.
So.
But it's one of those things, too, where around the 4th of July, he has to leave, and go up to his cabin up around Crandon because he can't deal with the fireworks.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you deal with that too sometimes?
Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah, it's very hard to deal with fireworks or anything like that. As a matter of fact, I can remember when I first got back, I'm driving down Grand River, which is a lot of lanes in the highway.
In Detroit?
In Detroit, yeah. And so there's some car backfired, apparently, and I thought it was a gunshot, and I was on the floor of the car. Then I realized that I'm not in Nam, and I almost hit a tree.
You know,
I came 2 inches from hitting this tree because it was in the middle. They had an island in the middle of the road. So, you know, it is what it is. And not only that, but I've done that many times just walking into the store. And I have a hard time adjusting with people walking behind me. It's just because you all of a sudden it strikes you that the enemy is behind you. You know, my counselor said I'm not supposed to call them gooks anymore.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Mike. We're talking a little bit about, you know, we talk about the Marines and all their training and everything like that. And sometimes you wouldn't think it's the most gung-ho, hardcore guy that would do something unbelievably heroic. Talk about the photojournalist, the Marine photojournalist, and what he did that was with you.
Yes, that was Bill Perkins. Bill Perkins was a photographer, and he's the only photographer in any service that got the Medal of Honor. And what he did is that, like one of them grenades that was coming out up from the trees, landed in between these 3 and 4 Marines. And Corporal Perkins, jumped on the grenade, and literally his body just went, you know, up into the air about 3 feet and back down. And to this day, he saved all them Marines around him. It was like just a miracle.
He gave his life.
And the funny part was is that I knew him, and we talked, and, you know, we always used to kid around, you know, well, what is a, how's a, this Marine going to shoot with a
camera.
With the camera, you know? But he did photograph some of the events of you know, when we were first going into the jungle, and there's he did do that. And the amazing thing was is that somebody was smart enough to pick his camera up. And there was actual footage on the camera that was savable. It had bullet holes like galore on the camera. So,
incredible.
Pretty amazing, you know, Marine.
As are you. You seem like you have a pretty good disposition. Seem pretty happy to me. I mean, I just met you, but is it the group or what?
It is. I mean,
there's still people struggling out there, is my point.
There's times that I don't leave the house. You know, I struggle, and then so then I even have to call my counselor. Like, I'll give you an example. It may sound kind of corny to you guys, but what happened is that my daughter's dog, a big black Labrador, died. Well, when I took that dog in, I'm thinking he's a Marine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I told her, I says, when you put this dog down, I can't be there. It shoots through my head, and I have these flashbacks like, that's a Marine that's dying. And how am I going to save him? You know, because when you're over there, what's the most important thing? The Marine next to you. You're not thinking about the glorious trying to save the USA or anything else. You're fighting for the Marine next to you, and he's fighting for you. And then when you lose that Marine next to you, then of course you don't have time to grieve. You know, you have to move on. But it is very hard. It's very hard to adjust to stuff like that. I talked about it in group yesterday about what happened and how bad it got for me. And it sounds corny, but it's very true, you know, so you gotta put it in perspective.
Well, and you did have one friend that even after you came back, you tried to help.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I didn't even get into that. We just had a Marine that passed away. And he was on Medina, and he got severely wounded on Medina. And so that Marine, George Bowles, this was just a couple of, about less than a month ago, I went to Waterford, Michigan, and they did the funeral. He got buried at Great Lakes National Cemetery, and he was decked out. He had on his dress blues. He wanted that. I left a Marine Challenge coin in his coffin, and
nice.
Then they had like a drawer that you could put it in. But this Marine was really, really good.
You guys center a quick break. Stay with us, okay, Mike?
All right.
Mike Robinson, incredible Marine, Vietnam veteran. Back after this. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
With me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside.
Hey, welcome back. My Know the Mayor here on Trucker Thursday, coming your way from the WISS studios in downtown Oshkosh. WISS is where you find your Milwaukee Brewers tonight, taking on those hated, can I use the word hated, St. Louis Cardinals? 6:05 on WISS right here. We're with a very special friend, Mike Robinson, on our Salute to Veterans segment brought to you by Olson Legal Group right here in Oshkosh and Berlin. And Mike, you're telling some amazing stories and traumatic stories and all that. But what's one of the things in regards to, and not to brand all the Vietnam vets together, because I think the media back in the day did a horrific job at painting everybody with that same brush. But what would you like as a representative of the Vietnam veterans who amazingly survived? What would you like to get out to the people?
Well, just got to remember, for one thing, anybody that fought in a battle, whether you were a corpsman, medic, Army has medics, you were a team. You worked together as a team. You didn't work as an individual. You never worked as an individual. So everybody had to work as a team. You never left anybody behind. I mean, we would lose lives to Marines to save another Marine. And we even on Medina, we had to stay there an extra night because there was so much equipment, and then we had to blow it all up the next day. So, and then we lost a couple more, or actually three more Marines the next night. So that's the way you look at things.
But when you look back in this now, do you ever say to yourself, how did I do that? How in the world did I do that?
Oh, yes. It's gone over my mind and probably a million times on how I ever survived. You got to realize that I was a 3rd Platoon radio man. We were for the whole battalion, we were the lead platoon, the lead company, the lead platoon, and the lead squad for the whole battalion. So I was about the 7th Marine back or whatever, and I'm right behind Lieutenant Nelson. And what is the first thing that the NV takes out? The radio man.
The radio man.
So, you know.
Cancel out the communication.
Cancel out the communication. So, you know, it's incredible. And, you know, even KC, when we was going up that trail, he says, nah, this is bad. He had some really bad vibes. And he says, and they ordered us to go up that trail. And we knew that it was very well traveled. And then, you know, the rest is history.
And you know what? You're talking about some of that KC, just a good young kid. And you see, you think the movies always do Hollywood does a misjustice to you guys, because they always have somebody like a John Wayne, somebody 45 years old who in real life would be 19 years old. And the pictures of that KC, young kid with freckles who looks like he should be, you know, maybe a freshman in college at the most, right?
Right, 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 right.
And that's who the Marines were, these really young kids.
I was a young kid there. And you know, you'll grow up really fast. And of course, And if anybody ever tells you you're not scared to death, well, they wasn't in Nam, because we were scared to death every moment that we were there. But you didn't have, you got to realize that when somebody got killed, you didn't have time to mourn. You had to move on and save the next Marine. You had to move on and, you know, and take the orders as they come through. And naturally, when you're in a real battle, you don't get any orders. You just got to fight the enemy. And, I mean, you got to realize how many enemy was in our position the next morning. I mean, they were, like, literally right in front of us. And they dragged some of the NVA off that we had killed. And then in this one picture that they portrayed, these two officers and a couple of non-coms were there, and they're looking down at the ground. Well, it was NVA that was in our perimeter. And he says, well, what are we going to do with this NVA? And we're supposed to bury him. Well, there's no place to bury him.
Yeah. You know?
But so tell him what you did.
We threw him over the cliff.
Okay.
That took care of it.
I guess it did.
Yeah.
Mike, I got to ask you a couple things. One is, I mean, that's unbelievable what you've been through. I'm sure you've been asked to. Would you do it again? But I really want to ask you, would you recommend military to your grandson?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, Marine Corps all the way, baby.
Marines love Marines.
You know, it's just our greatest honor ever to wear that Marine Corps uniform. And then, yes, I would recommend it, because you not only – because now you're learning how to work together as a team instead of an individual. Do you not agree that you can accomplish a lot more with it? Why be a you when you can be a team?
Right.
And you said something a little bit earlier. It's not the battle. It's not the, you know, the politicians. It's not the generals. It's not the whomever. It's that guy next to you, that guy on your left and that guy on your right. That's who you're fighting for.
Right, right. And you know, you got to remember, you become numb of all the horror that you have witnessed. You become numb of that. And think about that for a second, man. I mean, all these years, do you think it gets any better? No. But you have to learn how to, let's say, cope with it, or, you know, deal with it. And that's why I go to group. And if I didn't go to group and I didn't hear these stories from these other people, and whether you were Army, Marines, or Air Force, or what service you're in, they basically are saving my life, because otherwise I'd be 6 foot under right now.
So you guys are still taking care of the guy on your left and the guy on your right.
That's right.
Wow. Mike Robinson, it's an honor that you're allowing me to tell your story in my next book, and I look forward to talk to you again this afternoon. Thank you for being here, and man, gratitude isn't the right word for it, and appreciation and just admiration.
Yeah.
Thanks for what you're doing.
You're incredible.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Well, we're out of time. Todd, thanks for having us down here at our beautiful WISS studios.
Yes.
And our girl Lisa Hale has been quiet today, huh? Quiet.
Imagine that.
Well, imagine that. That's unbelievable. All right. We got to go. Everybody, we'll be back in tomorrow morning back in Green Bay. Mind of the Mayor. See ya.
Yes.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.